Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Blue Ridge PBS, the Virginia Department of Education, or the Virginia Society for Technology and Education.
Blue Ridge PBS, in partnership with the Virginia Department of Education and in collaboration with VISTE, the Virginia Society for Technology and Education, is talking to leading educators about what gets them energized and how technology is being used to inspire student engagement. This is Activated Learning.
Thomas and I, one of the big characteristics we have is we get technology, the first thing we want to do is put our hands on it, play with it, break it, see what we can do. And that's what we want to do with kids is, and teachers, like, hey, you know, try this out, let's see what we can do with it. A lot of people are afraid of, like, oh, what if we break it, what if we do that? And we always just figure if we break it, we'll learn how to fix it and keep on going.
Welcome to Activated Learning. I'm Tom Landon. Today, we travel to the Southwest Virginia Higher Education Center in Abingdon, Virginia, to visit TechTrek, a mobile STEM lab that Washington County Schools built to give students and educators the opportunity to build their skill set using the latest in instructional technology, including robots, drones, and virtual reality. I spoke to two instructional technology resource teachers who had a good idea and, with the help and support of their administrators, were able to realize their dream of creating a mobile STEM lab. Welcome to another edition of Activated Learning. I'm your host, Tom Landon, and I am joined today by Andrew Smith and Thomas Larimer. And we are here today at the Higher Ed Center in Abingdon, and they have been working on some librarian training. So welcome, guys.
Hi there. Glad you're here joining us.
Oh, thank you.
And I'll just start with you, Thomas, as you're on the end, and tell me where we are. What is this place?
Well, this is our mobile STEM lab called TechTrek. This is just a place that we can bring to schools throughout our county and set up STEM activities for students and have different things for them to come and experience.
And Andrew, that was a great answer, by the way, Thomas, but Andrew, describe a little more physically where we are. What are we inside of right now?
So right now we're inside of a 32-foot metal box trailer that we school system bought last June, and we've built it out to incorporate different technology we selected to put in the trailer. We've got some drones, we've got some headsets, we've got some Sphero robots in here, and it been built out real nice on the inside. On the outside's got a nice wrap on the outside. It's got Washington County Schools on it, and a lot of our logos and stuff on the side.
And this really was a homegrown project, right? You guys, you are both instructional technology resource teachers here in the county. And Andrew, tell me, like, where you work and how long you've been doing that work.
So actually, Thomas and I got hired at the same time last May to be ITRTs. So I'm at John Battle High School and Wallace Middle School here in Washington County. Before that, I taught math at Patrick Henry High School for 13 years. And Thomas and I worked side by side for 11 or 12 years together at Patrick Henry, and we've known each other for a long time. And we just enjoy technology, and that's kind of where this kind of started.
And Thomas, where are you? What schools are you responsible for?
I'm at Abingdon High School and E.B. Stanley Middle School. And as like Andrew, I taught at Patrick Henry. I taught business classes for the last 11 years and got hired as ITRT for this year. And that's kind of where our journey started with the STEM lab was at Patrick Henry doing STEM activities with our Meadowview Elementary School.
And so as you know, the role of an ITRT can really vary. Sometimes it is working with students. Often it's working with teachers to make them comfortable with technology. Am I correct to say that, you know, a lot of what you're doing here in the trailer and on the area immediately surrounding it is related toward making, and either one of you can answer this, is related to making technology less scary for teachers?
Yeah. And you know, that's one thing that, Thomas and I, one of the big characteristics we have is we get technology. The first thing we want to do is put our hands on it, play with it, break it, see what we can do. And that's what we want to do with kids is, and teachers, like, hey, you know, try this out. Let's see what we can do with it. A lot of people are afraid of, like, oh, what if we break it? What if we do that? And we always just figure if we break it, we'll learn how to fix it and keep on going.
Thomas, in your experience as a teacher and now as an ITRT, you know, what does it take to get teachers comfortable using some new piece of technology?
I think just having a good relationship with the teachers is a big thing. You know, Andrew and I spend a lot of time trying to build those relationships with the teachers, along with students, and just having that rapport with them, getting them to step out of their comfort zone is a big deal.
And I want to talk a little bit about the genesis of this project. Then we'll talk about, you know, what's actually in here. It's clearly a very flexible space, but you guys, you can tell me this story together. Like, how did you, what made you think that this would be a good idea? And once you vocalized that idea, what happened next?
Well, it all started with a bus. we decided to get our bus license last year to do some field trips. And after that, we were driving to a STEM day at Meadowview Elementary School. And one of our colleagues that we worked with that was on the trip with us said, hey, why don't y'all build out a bus and make it a STEM bus? And that's kind of what sparked our idea. It was like, oh, we could do that. And it kind of turned into the trailer because of some issues with getting like handicapped kids up on the bus and things. And then here it is today.
Well, there's also, I mean, I love the idea of the bus, but also a bus has a motor.
Yeah, the bus was really just because we had just gotten our bus license and we were driving buses around with, you know, we enjoyed driving buses too. So it was like, hey, it'd be cool, you know, if we had a bus to haul technology with us wherever we went. And it was, that's where the idea kind of started. And then it turned into a trailer just because it's just much easier to maintain.
Sure. And so you said to a supervisor or someone, we should do this. And what happened next?
We, I think we had just finished doing something with buses. We were recording something to do some bus driver training. And, we met with our supervisor, Dr. Tammy Williams, and we're like, hey, you know, what if we, you know, had this idea, we built, make a mobile STEM lab that could travel between the schools because, you know, each school might have a couple iPads or a couple drones or a couple Spheros, but no classroom sets. You know, we could have whole classroom sets, pull up to a school, use them, because usually when you use a drone in a class, you know, a school, it sits on a shelf for a month, and they might use it again. But that way, when it's sitting on the shelf, it's actually a different school being used again. So instead of just sitting a lot, everything's getting used all the time.
Yeah, that is what happens often with new technology, right? You buy it for a school with a grant or something, mm-hmm. and then it does. It sits in a closet, or if that teacher leaves, then nobody uses that again. Have you experienced that, Thomas?
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. On top of that, you know, so there's a lot of teachers that are still hesitant to use technology or try to get into using like the Spheros or the drones because they're just not sure how to use it. And that's where we could come in and kind of do some training with them. And then eventually, hopefully, they could just like rent out the trailer. We set it up, and then the teachers can implement those lessons and use the technology as they want to. And we don't have to always be around there.
Oh, right. That makes sense. And I'm looking over to my left, and you can't see it here if you're listening to the podcast, but I'll try to get the video and put it in there. You have a video running on a monitor to our left of yeah. the build itself. And it's clear that the two of you did a lot of the work, right?
Well, we did. Yes. we spent a lot of time last summer and this fall during our free time when we could find some time to get it built. It's one of those things that when we asked at the end of the school year, the funding was there from various places to purchase all the devices. So we essentially bought everything and then we're like, okay, now what do we need to do with this? So it took some while to kind of plan and figure out how we want to do it. And then we did go through and we had to take all the walls down, insulate it, wire it, put all the walls back up. And we did get help from our career and technical center, Gene Greer, his class, carpentry classes, helped do a lot of the trim work in here, the flooring, that kind of stuff. So we got a lot of students in here helping with us build it, but we did do a lot of the work ourselves.
Well, what a great idea too, to involve the kids. How did that come about, Thomas?
It was a group effort. I mean, really the kids came in and helped do a lot. Plus it was a time for them to learn how to do the flooring and things that, you know, they might not get to do in a regular class setting. So, it was really like kind of putting together a tiny house, I guess you could say. And, luckily Mr. Greer was very agreeable to let us come in his classroom and kind of take it over for a few weeks. And, his kids were really excited about getting in here and helping us out.
Yeah, no, that's great. And it's that practical application, which is at the heart of everything that we do. Let's talk a little bit about the, so again, essentially you guys had the idea, you went to someone and Tammy said, yeah, let's do that. And then it happened really pretty quickly, didn't it?
Yeah. The cart kind of went before the horse as I. So we had the trailer, we got it, we started building it out. And then once we start getting the stations put in, we're like, okay, what are we going to do in here now? And here lately, we've been working on curriculum side of it, trying to build out lessons and things that we can give to teachers that they could implement and use the technology with a lesson that they already have, and they just put the content in.
Okay. And today when we're here, and I know that you've got a flexible space can be used for a bunch of different things, but you're here at a librarians conference, and I noticed you were one of the technology, we'll talk about all the technologies you use today, but one of them is drones. And, you know, what led you guys to think that drones would be a good thing to put in the hands of teachers early?
It's one of those things that, you know, drones, robotics, you know, there's a lot of careers kind of moving to those directions. And, you know, the idea is that we get kids interested early in these kind of technologies and they maybe pursue some careers. One of our long-term goals is to connect these to careers, have some people from the outside come in and also teach from the trailer about how they use this technology in their career. That's kind of our long-term goal. The drones are one of those things that there's a lot of places that are unsafe for humans to go. Just because of, you know, whatever it is here on Earth, that we can send a drone in, be safe, and you know, collect data, whatever we need to. And a lot of careers that do that, and that's what we think that drones are going to become an important part. That's why we pick drones.
Well, not to mention the fact that it can lead to teaching things like geography. I'm a former geography teacher, right? You start talking about the use of GPS and some of the satellite technology that helps them operate. And the fact that there are drone program, very robust drone program at Virginia Tech. Thomas, I want to shift gears a little bit. We'll talk about the other technology too, but for listeners all over the state, all over the country, potentially all over the world, who don't know where we are when we say we're in Washington County, we're in Abingdon, Virginia, I want to kind of emphasize why a project like this is especially beneficial in a, you know, in the more rural parts of the state. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so we're a very large county. To get from one end to the other, it probably takes you about 2 to 3 hours. Going from like Damascus area all the way to the other side. And it's just very vast. And it was easier for us to just collectively put everything together in one spot and take it to the other schools rather than trying to get kids to a central location sometimes. So.
Right. It's not like you're going to bring kids to a tech center. And also, while there are parts of the county that are doing very well financially, it's also, probably a less resourced county than some of the others. So, you know, what have you noticed as you went around, Andrew, to schools and, you know, you put these really nice tablets and robots and things in the hands of students and teachers?
Yeah. I mean, there's parts of this county that, you know, some of the elementary schools are much smaller than some of the other ones. And you can tell like some of the ones that maybe not have, you know, some kids have played with drones before, some have not, some have played with robots, they have not or not. And it, you know, there's the excitement the kids get, like, oh, look at this cool thing, they want to fly it. And it, then we start, you know, actually using it to learn, they're like, oh, this is kind of neat that we enjoy doing this. And we went to some fifth graders at Abingdon Elementary, and one of the kids there, has a pilot's license. I'm not exactly sure, but he said he has a pilot's license and he can, I guess, fly a plane. And then we have other kids that have never, ever, you know, seen a drone before. So it's just a wide range of the kids got to experience the activity we're doing.
Right. And to be able to put the resources in the hands of everybody, not just that kid, a lucky kid who's able to have a pilot's license, but also like having, I mean, I can say as a video production guy, like having to being a licensed drone operator is a huge career thing. And I know people who work in quarries and in automotive factories who are drone operators and get a, you know, that is a significant part of what they do for their career. Thomas, the robots that I saw outside are they're cute. They remind me of BB-8 from Star Wars, but they're just little things that are sort of a nice entry level drone. Can you robot? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, those are the Sphero robots. Those are the Sphero Bolts. They are a very, very user friendly and very kind of a beginner intro into like robotics. And they actually have one that is just like the BB-8 sphere. It looks just like it. But they are able to be block coded using block coding. You just drag and drop on the iPad. The kids seem to understand that concept really easily. You can just drive them around just like a little car would be. It has a little joystick that you manipulate on the screen. And you can also just draw shapes for those, and it'll kind of go in the shape that you draw. So it came with a lot of different activities to easily just be implemented by teachers. And once you understand how to set them up, they can pretty much go on their own and use them.
Okay. And Andrew, talk a little bit about the other piece of technology we saw just a little bit of here today, and that's the headsets.
Yeah. So those are VR headsets. And you know, in our, This year, our school system purchased a classroom set for every high school, middle school, and the main focus there is with math and science through the Prisms headsets, the software. And we have some on the trailer here too. And the idea is that just to kind of get kids experience in the virtual reality world, and then there's some career things that explorations we can do on there to let kids just kind of try some things out. And it's, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, a lot of kids have them at home and play games on them, but they've never used them to experience, like virtual tours or, you know, you could sit on a forklift and drive it around, learn how to operate a forklift, you know, those kind of things.
I just saw a video of a doctor learning eye surgery. And I thought, oh, wouldn't that be nice if my mm-hmm. doctor had practiced virtually about 1,000 times before they touched mm-hmm. my eyes, right?
And there's a lot of simulations out there for the VR headsets that are really good, like you said, with careers and tying it back to that.
Yeah, it felt like when they first came out, it was, other than gaming and a few other uses, you know, I don't know that I would have thought that it would have been something I would have wanted to own. But I guess the longer they're around, the more useful they'll be.
And the way that they're just evolving, like the newer headsets now have what they call a color pass-through, and you can see like whatever's in front of you in color. You can see it in VR world and do AR stuff, augmented reality, kind of like the Apple Vision Pro headset.
Not just living in the world that's in the headset. That world is superimposed on the real world. That's cool. So let's talk a little bit about, you've now been through this. This has clearly been, you know, a big passion project for a while now. It's up and running. Are there lessons that you learned that other people who wanted to duplicate your success might save themselves some time with?
There are some things we would definitely change. We keep joking with Tammy, this is version one.
Right.
Was it version two? We'll do a couple things different. It took us longer than we thought to build out the inside, and I think that's just because we didn't have the time allotted for that. You know, if some divisions probably could already purchase it, build out, that would kind of speed that process up. Otherwise, you know, we want this to be a STEM technology trailer, but it could also be used for different things. Let's say, you know, a science class wants to go out to a Hungry Mother State Park or somewhere and gather some data or something. This gives them a classroom on wheels. Essentially, they could, you know, go get data, come in here, use microscopes, whatever they need to do, collect data. They go back out in the field. It has various things that we'd like to, you know, possibly be able to use it for, not just specifically technology.
And have you asked teachers like what now? And again, I understand that you were in a rush to get it built. You had, all of a sudden you had the money and you had to do it. Have you? Do you hope to, you know, actually like take some suggestions? Like, what we might get some new stuff next year. What would you like to see?
Yeah, there's a we have some plans already of what we want to try to add to the trailer, with some more robotics type of things where the kids can like build robots inside the trailer more. Right now, everything that we have is more focused being outside, being able to use it, and that poses a problem with, you know, weather. If the weather's not good, we can't be outside. You can't fly the drones when it's really windy or rainy. If it's too cold, you know, during the winter time. So that's another thing that we're kind of building towards. And that's another thing we want to do is collaborate with teachers and figure out what do they want to see and what can we bring in that would be more beneficial for them.
Sure. And you know, as you look forward, this has been a pretty, I mean, not everybody as a new brand new ITRT gets to go all in on a project like this.
Yeah, we were very lucky.
Very, very fortunate that they trusted us. They believed in us and they saw the need that our county had for this, the style of learning.
No, and I think that's important too, because, and maybe Thomas, you can talk about this a little bit, but to know that you have administrators who, oh yeah, that's, let's do that, right? That it's what, you know, what lesson do you have? What words of advice do you have for an administrator who might be listening to this? Right.
Be open-minded is a big thing. You know, it might look like, oh, we can't do this. It's going to be too expensive. It's, you know, where are we going to get the money? Well, you know, if you want to get the money, there's several streams that were used to help fund this project. I mean, it wasn't just coming off from one place, and there's plenty of grants out there that you can get for technology things, and you can tie it back to something like this. And whenever we presented at VISTE, there's actually several teachers that we talked to up there that took this idea back to their own counties, and their administrators loved the idea, and they put their own twist on it, because some of them, they could put it in a central location and all their kids could get to it easy. So some of them are thinking, well, we could have just like, you know, a little pod right here in the center of our schools. And, you know, there's all different ways that you could do it. This is just what worked best for us.
Right. And you know, I would encourage anybody who's interested. I'm sure that, Tammy has had people reaching out to her for advice or something. And I know that the folks here in Washington County are very open to sharing this and have carted it pretty far to show it off. Right.
Yep. We actually had a group from Portsmouth that contacted us whenever we first bought the trailer and posted it online that it was coming soon, this big STEM lab. And we collaborated with them a little bit on what our lessons were that were learned at that time. We were about halfway through building it. And yeah, it was an interesting conversation to have with them, because they were trying to figure out, well, how are we going to build one? And, you know, where are we going to get the money?
And you guys were still pretty early in the process,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And that's one thing that they allowed us to, you know, see this vision and pay for it, and, you know, let us you know, build it out and the way we wanted to. And you know, once you have the trailer and you have the base materials, you can always add new stuff to it later. It doesn't have to be specifically just drones or just VR or just spheros. We can add whatever we needed to do it.
Right. And, you know, worst case scenario, you get a really nice trailer that can be used for all kinds of
things. Good clubhouse sometimes.
We're sitting here. It's air conditioned. It's very pleasant. It's very lovely. Well, I just, you know, I look forward to following your progress and seeing what comes next. And you know, to see that version 2 trailer or whatever it might be. But I will include here underneath our, I'll put the link in the description for this episode, but I'll also, if you're watching this on video, I will put the link up there for, I'll leave Tammy's email address so that if people want to ask questions that they can do that. So I just want to take some time to thank you guys for having this here for me, for having the vision to do it, and to Washington County Schools for making the, helping us with the scheduling and everything else to get me out here. You guys, thanks so much and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This is Activated Learning from Blue Ridge PBS in partnership with the Virginia Department of Education and in collaboration with VISTE. If you like what you hear, subscribe to Activated Learning wherever you get your podcasts. If you've got an idea for an upcoming show, let us know at activatedlearning@blueridgepbs.org.
Activated Learning was created by Blue Ridge PBS in partnership with the Virginia Department of Education and in collaboration with the Virginia Society for Technology and Education. Produced by Tom Landon, Director of Educational Innovation at Blue Ridge PBS, with a lot of help from graphic and audio designer Jay Prater, podcast studio producers Andy DePew and Kurt Schruth, and Vice President of Education Dr. Rose Martin. Our theme music was composed and produced by Ryan Champney and Dr. Matt Katatachea of Visti.